Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you to our midweek video. Appreciate you tuning in as always, and being a part of our channel. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell as a way of staying current with the ministry. We go live from our assembly building on Sunday mornings, as well as when we create content for you here midweek. We would certainly appreciate that. I also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt-text site. Should something happen to our YouTube ministry, so if you're into alt-text sites or would like an alternative to YouTube, please consider checking us out here on Rumble as well. My featured book this week is my book, The King James Bible in America, an Orthographic, Historical, and Textual Investigation. This looks at the printed history of the text in the United States and looks at some history there and some interesting points regarding that often overlooked history of the text and it being printed in the United States. So if you consider picking up a copy of that book as a way of supporting the ministry, we would certainly appreciate that as well. So what I want to do this week in the video is I want to follow up on this video I made here a few weeks back titled Thoughts on the New King James Bible. And let me just get the exact date here on this for you. This was April 6th, so about a month ago, give or take, I made this video where I offer some thoughts on the New King James Bible. It was not a deep dive. It was just some cursory thoughts about reasons why I'm skeptical of the New King James Bible and why I have not embraced it or advocated for using it. And doubtful that it is what it necessarily purports to be, and that is simply a more modern translation of the received text. And I gave some reasons for why I think that. One of them being the text critical notes that are in the New King James Bible. So anyway, that and one of the things I talked about in the video was this issue right here. This is a popular meme. If you're on Facebook or social media, you've probably seen this meme floating around. And it says, are you saved or are you being saved? 1 Corinthians 1:18. And you'll notice here the King James, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. New King James, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so I had commented in this video from April 6th, and I had cited the rendering of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 in the New King James as a reason why I am uneasy with the New King James Bible. Okay. Now, what happened is somebody had left a comment. The comment is not there anymore. That was it was an interesting comment and sort of kind of accusing me, if you will. Maybe that's too strong of a word, but suggesting that maybe I hadn't done my research on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and sort of challenging me to look at some things related to that. So in the intermittent time, I have done that, and I wanted to kind of make this video just to follow up on this one here on the screen from April 6th, okay? So the issue is surrounding some issues about Greek grammar and then how to translate that into English, okay? So I've already showed you here the issue, the difference between are saved and being saved. And, you know, popular memes like this, one of the reasons they're popular is because they're very impactful to be able to see that are saved versus being saved for the average person that reads the Bible. I mean, yet there seems to be a difference between a present state of being saved versus an ongoing process of being saved, okay? And so what I want to do in this video is kind of look at what the issue is, look at some history with you, and kind of go from there. Now, I will, as a matter of full transparency and intellectual honesty, say that I had picked up a copy of the New King James, the Bridge Bible, by David W. Daniels, because I wanted to see what he had to say about the New King James Version. And I have footnote mined his book and to find some of the material that I'm going to present to you in this video. But my combination of it, presentation of it, is not necessarily the same as his. So I'm not going to be reading or quoting per se from Brother Daniel's book, but I am acknowledging that the footnote mining led me to these resources that I'm going to be sharing with you in this particular video. Okay, so here we have the King James text. For the preaching of the cross is then the perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, if we scroll down here through the interlinear, we can find the issue. Okay, so here's this phrase right here, which are saved. Okay, here we have the Greek word, and then we can come over here and look at the parsing on this, and notice it's present tense, passive voice, and the mood is participle, okay? So it's PPP, okay? PPP, present tense, passive voice, and participle is the mood, okay? So the question here is, does this form of present tense, present tense, passive voice, and the participle mood, what is it trying to convey, all right? Does it convey an action or event that has already been completed, thus are saved in the King James, or the newer interpretation of this grammatical structure is that it's something that is not done, something that is not accomplished, but something that is continually going on or an ongoing process versus something that is done or a completed process, something that has already taken place, okay? So the discrepancy between are saved in the King James and the modern versions here, whether it be the New King James, NIV, ESV, or New Living Translation, which all have are being saved, is focusing on how to translate that, okay? This particular form, present, passive, participle, okay? Now, as we think about this, The next thing I want to cover with you is just simply historically, the word is viewed as the present result of a past action. When we look at the English Bible historically, we see that it was translated as are saved historically. Now let's do that. Okay. So let's start with Wycliffe from the 1380s, and he's translating from Latin, but notice what he says in this clause. But to him that been made saved, okay, is the idea. So it is not an ongoing process in Wycliffe's translation. It is a completed action. It's a completed process, okay? We could go to Tyndale. Tyndale is the first one to translate out of the Textus Receptus, out of the preserved Greek, and notice the clause, okay? But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So Tyndale is translating it as a completed action, okay, as something that is already done, not a continual or ongoing. We can go to Coverdale from 1535. Notice, okay, to the that perish, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So Coverdale, so Wycliffe, Tyndale, Coverdale, all have are saved. They're talking about a complete action. Matthews from 1537, okay, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. So again, are saved is the construct as we look at the Matthew's Bible. The next Bible was the Great Bible, and but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We could look at the Geneva Bible, and you're going to see the same thing, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We could look at the Bishop's Bible, which was the text that was revised to create the King James Bible, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And we could look even at the Reims New Testament from 1582, and we could see, but to them that are saved, that is, to us, it is the power of God. Okay, so the historically, Bible translators translated that construct, the present passive participle. They all translated it as a completed process in this verse by saying are saved. Okay. Now, that's a fact. Let's look at this is a grammarian. This is from 1843. And the name of this book is The Greek New Testament with English Notes, Critical, Philological, and Exegetical. And this is by Samuel Thomas Bloomfield. And in this verse, he is commenting on Acts 2:47. Okay. So here is Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, so let's just turn the tools on here and let's look at this. Let's come down in the interlinear and check it out. Okay, here's the phrase, such as should be saved. And if we look at the parsing, notice it's, again, present, passive, and participle. It is the same format, the same structure as what we have over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18, present, passive, participle. It is the same here in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, as we look at the phrase, such as should be saved. Okay. Now, if you go to many of the modern versions here, they handle this by changing it to being saved. Okay. It's an ongoing process in the modern versions. Okay. Now, let's not just take my word for that. Let's flip over there and let's look at, for example, the ESV and load that for Acts 2:47. And we can look at this and see, okay, see, being saved, those who were being saved. So they have made it an ongoing process versus a past action, okay, or a completed process. So we can make those comparisons as we look here at Acts 2:47. Now, back to this piece here by Bloomfield. Now, Bloomfield is commenting on Acts 2, verse 47 in this, and notice what he says. If we keep close to the prioritas lingre, that's Latin, okay, which where a doctrine is concerned must be considered the only right course. We cannot translate otherwise than the saved. So not being saved, but the saved, okay? This is the way he's explaining the Greek here. Those who were saved, as the expression is rendered by, you know, he quotes Wesley and a couple other references, Wesley, a couple other people, which is supported by the Peshitta Syriac version. And if the sense be even yet thought uncertain, it is determined by the word in verse 40. Now, what is he talking about? Let's go look at verse 40. Notice Acts 2, verse 40, okay? And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So what Bloomfield is saying here in his Greek Testament with notes, critical, philological, and exegetical, is he's saying that verse 47 needs to be saved because of the context of verse 40, where the command is to save yourself from the untoward generation. So he is making a contextual and a grammatical argument for why it should be, as we saw, the saved or those who were saved. Okay. And then he references here verse 40, for the expression must denote those who hearkened to the earnest injunction, save yourselves from this perverse generation. That's verse 40, like I just showed you. Namely, by abandoning their prejudices, renouncing Judaism, seeking admission into the Christian church. Now, theologically, I'm not sure I agree with all of Bloomfield's exposition here, but we're after what he says about the words, not do we agree with his theological interpretation. Now watch, and thus being saved from their sins by the washing of regeneration and put into a state of salvation, whence by the grace imparted under the gospel, they might be actually saved both from the guilt and the power of sin. Okay. Those who had, thus it comes to the same thing as their being put into a state of salvation. So Bloomfield, in explaining the Greek, makes an argument that this should be a state of salvation, not an ongoing process. And he argues that contextually, and he does this in 1843. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. Now, think about the history that I just went through here with you. All of these Bibles, from Wycliffe to Reims, they all said are saved. Okay? A Greek grammarian in 1843 says that it's the state of salvation there in Acts 2, verse 47, when the grammar is the same as it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And it's the same in that it is a present passive participle, okay? So what we have is a swath of history, a translational history now, dealing with this as a state, okay? Notice, a state of salvation, not a process. Wycliffe, through King James all said that, and now a Greek grammarian in 1843 is saying the same thing, that it's a state of salvation, not the progression towards salvation or an ongoing process. Now, what's interesting is what happens now in 1881 with the Revised Version is the way of handling that construct is now all of a sudden changed. Okay. Now, here is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. So, as far as I can tell, this is the first time that is translated not as a, what's the word I want? Not as a state of salvation, but as a progression or a process toward salvation. And it's happening, as far as I can tell, in English for the first time in 1881. Okay. Now this change was not, missed, if you will, by Bible teachers and commentators of the late 19th century as they issued comments on this, okay? So what we want to look at here is from dates from 1881, and this is remarks on the Revised English Version of the Greek New Testament by B.W. Newton. B.W. Newton writes this in 1881, and he is going to offer his thoughts on the Revised English Version of the Greek New Testament, and notice what he says. So also in 1 Corinthians 1:18, so he gives the Greek, the lost, so let's go back and look at the verse, okay? Look at the verse right here. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Now notice what he says. So also in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the lost are opposed to the saved. The state as expressed by the verb, not the time denoted by the tense being the point to be regarded. So B.W. Newton is saying the issue here is the state expressed by the verb, not the time, okay? Not the time denoted by the tense being the point regarded. So B.W. Newton is understanding that the issue here is a state of being denoted by the verb, not an ongoing action, okay, denoted by the tense. And so he is acknowledging here that what the Revised Version has done is changed a state of being, okay, that's it, the saved, the state expressed by the verb, okay, it's been changed from a state into a process by the way the translators of the Revised Version have chosen to render that verse. Okay. Now, this got also a lot of other attention. In 1886, an article titled Saved Versus Being Saved appeared in the journal The Society of Biblical Literature and Exegesis, and this is from June 1886. So here's an entire article in a theological journal devoted to this very topic of how saved versus being saved. Okay. Now, when we look at this here, notice it appears then that according to the New Testament, we may say of a believer either that he has been saved, whether by the sacrifice of Christ or the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit, or that he is now saved, i.e., is in the enjoyment of that great blessing, or that he will be saved in the great day of the new heavens and the new earth. In all these cases, the question is viewed on the divine side as the act of God without any reference to human activity. Although we know from other scriptures that man is neither unconscious nor torpid, I believe is how you say that, but in a full exercise of his rational moral nature when thus saved. The work, therefore, is not a process, but an act. And it affects an instantaneous change in the subject. So it's not a process, it's an action. It's an act that institutes the change in the person. They are now saved as a result of this. According to the New Testament, men at any given moment are either saved or lost. No intermediate condition being conceivable any more than we can think of a departed spirit being one half in this place, one half in the place of bliss, and the other half in a place of woe. So he's very clear. It is therefore a misleading translation when it is put them that are being saved, because it turns a divine act into a process, and thus it is at war with the whole tenor of the Greek scriptures as to the divine side of salvation. So what I want you to see here is that this change that happened in the Revised Version in 1881 did not go unnoticed, and it did not go unchallenged, okay? And it is being noticed and challenged as a theologically significant change when it comes to the doctrine of salvation. Now, I'm just reporting here what's in these documents here that we're looking at. So is it a substantive difference in meaning to say are saved versus being saved? So there's an entire swath of history, starting with Wycliffe, and I'm speaking about in English, coming all the way through the King James into the 19th century, where it's understood that these verses are talking about a process. They're not talking about a process. They're talking about a state. They're talking about a completed action of being saved. Okay. So then that should tell you that what has happened in the last, I'm just going to say, 175 years, give or take, is there has been a shift in how Greek grammarians are explaining this particular form, again, that form being the present passive participle, and they're doing it in a different way, and they're treating it in a different way in their English renderings and translations than had ever been the case before that point. So there is a shift, and there is a change, and that's why we see these differences here that are denoted on this particular meme. Okay, now, I'm going to make a suggestion here about as to, you know, when this happened. By the way, the work that I just read from, if I didn't already say, this is Saved versus Being Saved in the Journal of Theological and Biblical Literature and Exegesis from June 1886, okay? And the author's name here is escaping me because I neglected to write it down, okay? But we'll see his name here. His name is actually Chambers, because this next article mentions him. So this name here, Chambers, he's the guy that wrote this, Being Saved versus Being Saved in the Journal of the Society of Biblical Literature and Exegesis from June 1886. Now, if we fast forward a few years from 1886 to 1892, a book appeared called Syntax of the Moods and Tenses in the New Testament Greek by Ernest DeWitt Burton, and this is from 1892. And notice this section. Now, notice, first of all, the same participle in Acts 2:47. So we've already looked at Acts 2:47 and 1 Corinthians 1:18. That's the main verse we're discussing. And he brings up another one, 2 Corinthians 2:15. May be understood in the same way and be rendered we that are, notice, in the sense we that became saved. So he says it could be rendered that way. Okay. Or may be taken as in the RV, the Revised Version, as a progressive present of stimulus action. So notice, he says, well, it could be a state of being saved, or as in the RV, it could be a progressive action, an ongoing action. Now watch, it cannot mean saved in the sense of those that have been saved. It cannot mean that. He's saying it cannot mean that when that's what it's meant in the English Bible for hundreds of years. It cannot mean the saved in the sense of those who have been saved. Now watch. The statement of Dr. T.W. Chambers in the Journal of Biblical, so this is the thing we were just talking about, the Journal of Biblical Literature from June 1886, page 40, that's this article right here that I just read, okay? So the statement of Dr. T.W. Chambers in the Journal of Biblical Literature, June 1886, page 40, that, quote, the passive participle of the present tense in Greek is often, if not generally, used to express a completed action, is wholly incorrect and derives all its verisimilitude, whatever that word is, from the ambiguity of the English passive forms. So here we have a grammarian now coming out and saying that the other grammarians had it wrong. That they had it wrong. It's been wrong in the English Bible for 400 for hundreds of years, nearly 300 years at this point. And all of the previous Greek grammarians that we just read, okay, so that would be Bloomfield, that would be B.W. Newton's comments, that would be Chambers's comment, he's saying it's all wrong. That it's a progressive action, it is not a completed state. And so from there, you have a shift, you have a change in how that form is going to be translated, as you can see now for all, through all these modern versions. So that's the best explanation I can give presently for how this occurred. Okay. Now, I want to say something else. So one of the things that I find to be frustrating in all and in many of the conversations related to text and translation is proponents of the modern critical text and modern versions, they'll talk about these rules, Greek rules, Hebrew rules, grammatical rules, all of these things, and yet we find instances of them sort of like not following their rules. So the King James and the TR English tradition and how they rendered things, that's not correct. Our new rule, like we see here with Burton, our new rule trumps the way that it used to be because we know better now. And so now we're going to enact and translate on the basis of this new rule. Okay, so let's look at another example here. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. Okay, this is Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. This is the King James, and notice what it says. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Okay, so let's turn the tools on. And let's look at this that is rendered, that is circumcised. And notice the structure, present, passive, participle. So this is the same structure that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that's in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, where modern grammarians following what Burton says here say that should not be our saved, that should be being saved. Okay, but now here we have the same phenomenon being applied to circumcision. That is circumcision. Okay, let's read the verse one more time, go back up. For I testify again that every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Okay, so look, if somebody is circumcised, are they in a state of circumcision? There is no such thing as the ongoing process of circumcision in the present. That would not be cool. So either you are or you aren't. And that goes back to the point that we read, I believe it was by Chambers, possibly it was Bloomfield, it's all running together in my mind now, that either you're saved or you're lost. It was B.W. Newton now that I think more clearly about that. So, you're either circumcised, you either are circumcised, or you're not circumcised. There is no ongoing process of circumcision, okay? But I want you to notice again, before I go any further, notice again the construct. Present, passive, participle, it's the same. Now, let's get out of the King James here, and let's go to the New King James. Let's get out of the King James, and let's go to the New King James for Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised. So wait a minute. Is that an ongoing process? Because we've just been told by the grammarians that anytime we see this that structure, every time we see that form of PPP, then the present passive participle, then that means it's an ongoing action. So why did they not translate this circumcision as being circumcised? For I testify to every man who is being circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Because that wouldn't make any sense. So why is it justified to make the switch in a passage dealing with salvation and justification in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, but not in this passage here related to circumcision? And I would submit to you that if you make the change in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, now you create other problems for other cross-references. For example, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So are you justified? Do you have peace with God, or are you being saved? Okay. So here's my point. Why is such a big deal made about PPP? Okay. Past, and again, sorry, I have to look because what is it again? Past, present passive participle. Why is a big deal made when it comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, but not here when it comes to circumcision? The New King James is not the only one to do this. Let's look at the ESV. Let's jump over here to the ESV. The ESV obviously coming from a different text basis than the New King James, but notice, I testify again that every man who accepts circumcision, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. So why does it say, why does it not say, I testify again to every man who is being circumcised? Because there's no such thing. You are either are circumcised or you're not. You're either lost or you're saved. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. So, like, why are these rules now that are developed by gentlemen here like Burton, who says that the passive participle of the present tense in Greek is often, if not generally, used to express a completed action, is wholly incorrect. So why then is that not, why is that rule then not carried forward into a verse like Galatians 5 verse 3? Now, I'm just giving you one example here. So what I'm saying is that, like, why are these rules, they do the same thing with the gender discord argument in Psalm 12, 6 and 7 in a verse related to preservation, when the same phenomenon occurs in other verses in Psalm 119 that are also dealing with preservation. So, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what to say about that. And I guess I'm just going to end with this. There's an article on the King James Version Today website. They have an entry there on are saved or are being saved in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And then, as well as in other occurrences. The Greek verb is in the present passive participle, signifying an ongoing passive action. In English, an ongoing passive act can be expressed either by are being, okay, plus past participle, or are plus past participle. For example, the statement, the files are saved on the computer, means the same thing as the files are being saved on the computer. In both cases, what is expressed is that the computer is storing the files at this present moment. However, the phrase are being saved is unnecessarily wordy since are saved conveys the same intended meaning. Moreover, are being saved, now watch, has an unintended connotation of an ongoing but incomplete process. Although salvation in some aspects are still incomplete, example, we who are in the physical distress are yet to be physically saved, salvation in the context of 1 Corinthians 1:18 refers to the completed act of God saving a person from sin through Christ's work on the cross. The preaching of the cross. Christ died for your sins. Believe it. Trust it. Put your faith in his shed blood for you on the cross for your sin, and you receive eternal life. You are justified. You are saved. You receive eternal life as a free gift. So when we see memes like this, people can understand at a sort of a popular level that are saved and are being saved are conveying to them immediately a different understanding. And why was it okay in the TR English tradition, and even in the Latin English tradition through Wycliffe and Douay-Rheims, for this to be our saved, and then all of a sudden it changes to our being saved. So there's a lot to think about and unpack here in this video, okay? And there's probably other examples. I've used Galatians 3:5-3, excuse me, as a counterpoint. There are other passages that we could look at, that we could discuss. But why are the rules not applied consistently? Why are the people here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 3 not being circumcised? Why are they circumcised or not circumcised when the rule is supposed to be applied the same all the time? So I'd like it. It'd be interesting to have an explanation for that, if there is one. Otherwise, it just appears to folks like these rules are, they're arbitrary. They're not applied consistently, and they make for awkward readings and understandings. So let me just encourage you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The power of God unto salvation is in the preaching of the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day, the victor over sin and death, and he will give eternal life and save anyone eternally from their sin the very moment they trust in the finished work of Christ. Do it today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.